Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So while you're turning in your Bibles to John chapter 21, you can imagine the last few chapters we've seen Jesus prepare his disciples for the cross, Jesus praying to the Father, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus being betrayed as he'd prophesied, Jesus being crucified and put on that cross by the Jewish leaders as he'd said would happen, Jesus going to the tomb, buried as he said he would, and then rising again from death, which is powerful, just like he said he would. And that's even some of the words that the angel says to the disciples in the other Gospels. The angel says, just as he said he would rise from the dead. And he's done it. And Jesus is alive. Who's excited about that? I mean, he is alive. Therefore, everything that he said is worth paying attention to. I mean, if he's like every other religious guru on the face of the planet who said stuff, has died, then perhaps it's not such a good idea to listen to everything that they've said. But if there's one who said some stuff and did some stuff and died and rose again, how many of you know we should go and have a look at what he said? And we should study what he said. I believe in Jesus because everything that he said he would do, he's done. And the thing that he said that nobody else could do is this, that he would rise, he would lay down his life for us, but he would raise himself up. And he did. It's an incredible thing, folk. And so if that is the truth, bear with me for a moment. Maybe you're an atheist. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. Maybe you believe in those other religious things. And that's fine if you're searching and you're seeking. I want to say to you today, don't stop searching, because when you find Jesus, you'll stop seeking anything else. Because when you find him and the things that he says and the things that he does, it's revolutionary. It's completely different. No other religion on the face of this planet in all of history has their God who comes to earth and dies for us on an excruciating, painful cross to remove sin from us. Not asking us to put a mat down and pray to the east every day and to empty your mind for nirvana and to do all these works and all these efforts to try and have some kind of grasp at God. Actually, he comes down and he takes the nails to grasp every one of you. There's no God like that, and no man on the face of the planet, with all the religions that man has invented, nobody could invent that. Because nobody would have seen what was coming. He rose again because he is the Son of God. And he did what he said he would do. And if he said he would die for your forgiveness, and he would rise again, then therefore, if he's risen again, that means you are forgiven if you believe in him. Do you believe it? It changes everything. Anybody afraid of death? This changes everything. Anybody not understand what their life and the meaning of their life is for? This changes everything. You earning money every day, serving God, doing the things that you want to do in this business world, this changes everything. You're raising your children, you're trying to find a partner, you are in a marriage, this changes everything. You might have blown it, you might have messed up in your life, you might have other people mess up your life, this changes everything. Therefore, it's worth our attention. And so, everything's changed. But perhaps not so fast for little Peter. And in the end, he's a great Peter, but he does some things that show that he hasn't actually accepted what's been done for him. Look here, John chapter 21. Jesus appears to 7 disciples. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, how's this picture, folk? Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do Do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. So this is strange. He puts on his outer garment and throws himself into the sea. I've got a little theory there. I reckon he thought, I've walked on water before. I'm going to walk on water again, if it is him, straight into the water. And then he swam. So he puts on a strip for work and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Okay, so let's stop there for a moment. Guys, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means you cannot continue with life as usual. You don't come to a church meeting. You don't come to a realization of who Jesus is, the risen Son of God, and go back to life as usual. If you have gone back to life as usual after being in a church meeting, then either one of two things has happened. Christ wasn't preached, or Christ was preached and you didn't listen. But if Christ is preached, and he's died and he's risen again, and he's in the room, which he is right here, right now, then you cannot go back to life as usual. And so Peter feels to himself, he's not good enough. He's denied Jesus three times. Every single morning when he has cock-a-doodle-doo, he's like, oh, what a reminder. I betrayed Jesus. But Jesus does something to change the whole thing, because from this time onwards, when Peter starts to hear cock-a-doodle-doo, his life has changed. There's something that happens because of what the Lord does in these next steps. But he feels he's not good enough for Jesus, and he feels Jesus isn't good enough for him, so he's going to go fishing. Folk, you must understand something about Peter. He is the leader of the church, effectively, right here, right now. Remember Jesus says this. He says, I will build my church. And he says to Peter, you, Peter, are rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now, we know and we understand that the revelation of Jesus Christ, because Peter had a revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the one who comes to save, the Messiah. Jesus was saying, it's on that revelation that I'm going to build my church. So he wasn't saying, I'm going to build it on Peter. But he was saying, I'm going to build with you, Peter. Because later on, he says to Peter, I want you to strengthen your brothers. In other words, there was something of a call upon Peter's life that would lead the other disciples into the things of God and would lead in the church. And you see, when the Holy Spirit pours upon Peter later on in the book of Acts, he stands up and he preaches and 3,000 people come to know him. So there's definitely an influential leadership anointing upon Peter. Please, let's not get into this thing of all the apostles were equal. Yes, they're equal before God, but they're different in role. Because God does place leadership on people's lives for the sake of influencing others. There is such a thing as leader-follower in the kingdom of God. As I follow him, so others will follow me. Leader-follower, vital for the kingdom of God. And you can see it by Peter, because he's received a call from Jesus Christ himself. And Peter decides he's going to do the Jonah thing and he's going to walk away from the call. He's going to where the fish are. Ian said something powerful. You see, when you are not pursuing the call of God, the fish catch you. Jonah gets caught by a fish. But when you're pursuing the call of God, he makes you a fisher of men and you catch fish. So Peter, he's running away from the call of God. But you can see the influence upon his life. Folk, many of you have got a call upon your lives. Many of you have got an influenced anointing that God has placed on your life. And where you go, people are going to follow you. You need to understand that. Because Peter says, I'm going fishing. Seven disciples follow him. Seven of the known apostles. Remember, there's 11 now, because Judas has committed suicide. Over half of the church's leadership of the day follow Peter back to the fishing. When Jesus has a call on your life, folk, it's not life as usual. It's let's follow Jesus, because people are going to be influenced by us. You are an influencing people. God has placed a call on your lives.
You are going to lead people. If you decide because of some insecurity or because you feel bad about yourself or you don't understand what Jesus did for you at the cross, that you're just not going to follow the call of God anymore, people are going to follow you. But if you today say, today, Lord, forgive me. Today, Lord, I love you. Today, Lord, I receive what you always intended for me to have and you want to restore it. Then I receive it today. Let me walk in your purposes. Who will do that? Who will let all the stuff fall down that he died for us to be free of so that we can walk into the things that he's got for us? He's a church leader. And this leader needs a fresh revelation again. Because the leadership of the church of the whole world is following him to see. Now, it's amazing. Fuck. We might think that Peter and the guys are disconnected by getting in the boat and all out to sea. But actually, Jesus doesn't let that happen. You know, he knows what he's put into these disciples for 3.5 years. He knows what he's put into your life for 30 years. He's not going to let you go. He's like, no ways. It's not horizon time for you. I'm on the shore and I'm waiting for you. And he calls out, how's it going, guys? How's the fish catching going? He actually says to them, my kiddies. He says, you're acting immature. Come back to me. And they listen to one word from him, one word from his voice, and everything that they thought they could do without him happens in a split second. I mean, God wants to bring us out of darkness into it. I love that. It says, on the dawn, when the sun was breaking, Jesus standing on the shore, the lights are just shining on Jesus again. You can imagine these guys have fished all night in the dark. It's dark when there's no Jesus in the boat. It's dark when there's no Jesus in the church. But when the light shines on Jesus again and people start to listen to his voice again, that's when we're going to start catching some fish. Who wants some fish? God's made us fishers of men. But he's committed to change us. Change is guaranteed. From darkness to light kind of change. One thing is guaranteed for your life. He is going to change you. He's not going to keep you the same. If you want to stay the same, then eternity is not for you. Hello? Because eternity is a lot of change. And he's going to keep changing us and keep transforming us. So therefore, folks, some things in 2019 are going to change. And if you resist the change, you're going to stay where you were. But there's no change in your past. There's change in your future. As we move towards what he's got for us, we're going to start to become more and more like him. Every day, we're being transformed. Inwardly, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being transformed to be like him. And so, how many of us are exactly like him right now? I mean, Brenda, you and I. Spiritually, yes. Experientially, not yet. I still don't exactly talk like Jesus. A few compassion lessons I need to learn. But I tell you what, he's committed. And he will form himself. Paul said this about the Corinthian church. I'm in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And sometimes we might feel like we've gone way backwards. And we've gone there. Hey, Jesus is committed to making you what he wants to make you. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Remember that? Follow me. These guys are wanting to go back to fishing. He's the light of the world. He's committed to you. Guys, I love this. He says, children. He's highlighting the immaturity. He's saying, you can't stay the way you were. I love my children. Next year, Ethan turns 7. I wish he was still 4. But if he stays 4, there's either something retarded or deformed. Because what's supposed to change must change. So as much as I'd like to keep him at a nice little, he's growing and he's got to grow. As much as I want to keep Beth at a certain age, as much as I want to keep Carter and little Evan, they're beautiful as they are. I'm like, Can they stay like that? But they change. They're designed to change. So he says, children, you need to mature. I'm highlighting your immaturity here. Your maturity is going to come when you're back on the shore with me. So just get back on the shore with Jesus. It's a bit shaky in the boat, but when you're with him, everything changes. Guys, our greatest change in 2019 is going to come from obeying the word of the Lord. Following his call for our lives. Just one word with his spirit at work is enough to change everything. Look at the call that Jesus placed on these men a long time ago. Matthew chapter 4. That was over 3.5 years prior.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, Jesus calls the first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is interesting, by the way. Listen to this. Where are the disciples now? Sea of Tiberias. Jesus never ever went to Tiberias because it was a Gentile city set up by the Roman emperors in recognition of Caesar Tiberius, and Jesus never ever went there. And so it's interesting, where does Peter go to get away from Jesus? To the place where he knows he never went. He goes to the Sea of Tiberias, which is on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. So he's trying to get away from the things of God and from the things of Jesus. But guess who's waiting on the shore of Tiberias? Because now, Jesus Christ has died and he's risen. He's fulfilled what he wanted to do for the Jewish people as a Jewish person who were the promised nation through which the Messiah would come. Now that stuff is pushed aside because it's not about one nation. It's all people, one nation under him. And he wants all the Gentiles. Now he can stand on the Sea of Tiberias where there's a Gentile city behind him. And he says, don't run from me, you people in the boats. Actually, get back on the shore because now I want to save the whole world. The Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias actually means this. River God. They're running to the river God, but he's the God of every river. And you've got to come back to Jesus, the Son of God. He's the river that never runs dry. So on the Sea of Galilee, on the other side of the sea, walking, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Crossing Church, I will make you fishers of men. When we start surrendering to the Spirit, it's not about all the things we think it's about. Because when we truly start surrendering to the Spirit, we'll start to see that we are fishing for people. That's the true work of the Spirit, is when we're actually winning souls. We can come and have wonderful Holy Spirit times. We can have all these things. We can have our lives, revelations under soaking of the Spirit. We can dance. We can wave flags. We can do everything we like in this place right here. But if it doesn't make us fishers of men, then Jesus had nothing to do with it. He said, I will make you fishers of men. You might not do any of the kind of spiritual stuff, but if you're winning people, you've got everything of your Spirit in you doing it. Who's ready to change? And it's not a change we like, folks. Because for some reason, we like getting uncomfortable with the Spirit in the church. But we don't like getting uncomfortable with the Spirit outside the church to win those who are lost. Let's trust for the true work of the Spirit inside of us to give us boldness and courage out there. Amen. Who's ready for that kind of change? So, I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets. That word is very important. Katarizo, mending the nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So I want to ask you, what are you fishing for? I mean, I've tried fishing. Ian Fenton knows that I walk around with an empty bait. Or an empty hook, I mean, with no bait. And he walks around with fish. When we go down to Hole in the Wall and we try and catch stuff, I just don't know how to catch those things. I'm like, let's get a net. But there's something about fishing for people. It takes time. And one-on-one, I think one-on-one evangelism is great because it's effectively a person with the rod holding out bait for one person to catch. But there's something powerful about a whole church as a net which all come together to try and catch thousands of people. And so the katarizo, mending the nets, is what Jesus wants to do with us as a church. He wants to mend us. He wants to put us together. That word, katarizo, I don't know how to say it in Greek. How do you say it? Katarizo, thank you. So katarizo doesn't just mean mend. It also means restore. It also means prepare. It also means equip. It also means create. It also means supply. It also means unite. It also means train. And it also means mend. How incredible is that? The Lord is busy mending the nets. The Lord is busy using us to prepare, to equip. He's creating something in us. He's supplying what's required. He's uniting us. He's training us. Katarizo, so that we can catch fish. That's what all 2019's got to be about, folks.
Well, all the equipping, all the training, all the restoration. Why do you need to get healed from your past? So that you can be useful to God. Why do you need to get your problem solved? So that you can be useful to God. Why do you need your finances mended? Why do you need all these things equipped, changed, united, supplied, so that you can be used by Him to save souls? If we're going to save souls, He's going to mend these nets. He needs every single one of us, folk. It's a vastly multifaceted word, and it's applied quite powerfully. Now, I want you to notice something about this. Back to the boat. That's something else. Kerry Southey was an incredible prophetess who spoke into this church 17 years ago. And the prophetic word she spoke over this church was this, that this church would be a fishing village, that everybody would come together to catch the fish that he wanted to save. And that means every single one of us have got a part to play. You are a knot in the net. No, you're a knot in the net. A network. A whole lot of people. We're going to make the network. A whole lot of people connecting. You know, we need to do this, folk. Every one of us have got a part to play. If you don't play your part, there's a hole in the net. Right? If you say, I'm out of here. There's a hole. A couple of fish get through there. In fact, if they're all in the net and they found one person has moaned and complained and, oh, we don't like it anymore, and blah, church, just, and out they go, that means all the fish go out that hole. Hello? And you need a couple of guys to go fix the net or get the person back and put them back in and restore them. Peter, come back. Don't run there to the river God. Come back here where Jesus is on the shore. Let's mend the net. Ah, thank you. We can catch more fish. Hello? Not every single one of you are important and vital. And so, we're going to thank you later. This team on the boat, look at this. John is the first to see. That's prophetic. Peter's the first to be sent from the boat. That's apostolic. The net being dragged, that's evangelistic. And the disciples who are still rowing the two oars of the boat to get back to shore is the shepherding and the teaching. And the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, have been given to equip katerizo, the church, so that we can all grow and catch the fish. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 4:11, look at this. This is your part to play in 2019. Ephesians 4:11 to 16. And he gave the apostles, they jump out the boat, they jump out into the nations, the sea of people out there. They dive out into that. The prophets, you see, it's Jesus. Prophetic ministry is not, I see you've got a sore toe, brother. Prophetic ministry is, you might have a sore toe, but there's Jesus. Can you see him? John sees him. The prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry. Who does the work of ministry? Someone say saints. Hello? This is not the old Catholic funny way of the clergy doing the job and the laity lazing off. It's equipping every single one of the net together. We're doing our part by teaching you how you do yours, and we move together to do the thing. Look at what it says will happen. To equip the saints for works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer be children, if you've got any fish, children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, let's go to the river God, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we grow up into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body joined together, held together by every joint like a net with which it is equipped, katerizo, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. How wonderful is this, folk? That's what we want. I believe God's going to use you to catch people in the workplace. In 2019, we're going to trust the Lord for business exchange. And a crossing exchange where business people come together and we talk about how we can win people with our businesses and in our businesses. Because these people are going back to their business, and Jesus wants to use that business to save souls and wants to serve and supply the kingdom through the things that are produced through the business that listens to God's word.
You listen to God's word, you won't be working all night, working all year, and not having anything to show for it. But you listen to the voice of Jesus. You watch what happens. You will not have enough room to pull in the blessing that he has for you. Let's continue. John 21, verse 9 to 19, for 2019. When they came out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Come on, guys. You're getting hungry? I mean, but look what Jesus does. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread, the bread of life. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. That's amazing, eh? He helps us gain the things that we gain and then asks us for a contribution from it. He doesn't need fish. He's already got fish. But he wants us to play a part. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore. Check, Peter, back in the boat. Amazing. Leave the boat, back in the boat. Church ministry is important that those we send out, we bring back in. Full of fish, 153 of them. And although there was so many, the net was not torn. That's a gracious word. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Wow. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I wonder what these is. It could be the fishing business. It could be the fish. It could be him now turning his attention to the provision of the world. Maybe more than these is the oars, the boat, the guys, you know, leading all these guys back into the world. He says, do you love me more than all this stuff? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. It's interesting. He doesn't say, I love you too. Jesus doesn't need to tell you that he loves you. Jesus showed you at the cross. And if you respond to that, his next question is, do you love me? Therefore, it's not about you. It's about my lambs. And it's about my fish, a sheep. Check it out. It's all about you at the cross. But beyond the cross, it's all about him and his people. Will you give yourself to him? Because if you need him to love you, then come as a sinner to the cross and there be forgiven of all your sin. And you'll find great love. Love would cause you to believe in him. Love is so incredible. Love gives you faith. When you know that what he's done for you is set you free from the thing that hurts you the most, you will love him. He loves you, folk. He's shown you at the cross. Now it's the time to respond. 2019, Crossing Church. Let's not be begging for Jesus to show us how much he loves us. Let's show him how much we love him, and let's go after those that he loves. Because if we love him, we're going to love those he loves. I mean, I love Sharissa, and one day she bought a Yorkshire Terrier. And I have no desire for a Yorkshire Terrier. I've never, ever in my whole life wanted a Yorkshire Terrier. But in the end, I've loved this Yorkshire Terrier. Little Yorkie, her name is Miley. She just sucks up all the love you have. I reckon she would lick you empty. But the only reason I love that Yorkshire Terrier is because I love Sharissa. And because I've loved her, I've believed in what she loves and what she does. And now the Yorkies are amazing. I'm not calling you Yorkies. But Jesus loves sheep. And if you love him, he's going to get you to love what you even thought you wouldn't love. He wants to use you for them. And so he says, feed my lambs. He said to them a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So he starts with lambs, little ones. Tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And he said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Isn't that interesting? Peter was in control of his own life until this point. Because when people said, "Don't you know him?" he said, "I don't know him." Covered himself with his cloak, hid away. Aren't you one of his disciples? "I don't know the guy." He said, "Hey, surely you were with him. You sound like him. You even talk the same." "I don't know him at all." Controlling his own life, protecting his own life. Yeah, Jesus says, when you were young, the time for your immaturity of you trying to control your whole life has just ended, because now you're going to go and you're going to do what I want you to do, and it's going to be till death, but that death is going to glorify God. So will you submit yourself to the process and don't try and control your own life? If you leave it to me, you'll glorify him. It's a powerful thing. Then he says, follow me. Folk, when you try to control it all yourself, it's got to change. 2019, stop trying to control it. Surrender it. Now, in the end, Peter dies on a cross, just like Jesus. And he says, I'm too unworthy to die in the same way as Jesus. Would you please turn the cross upside down? And he dies on an upside down cross, glorifying God. But there were times when Peter is thrust into prison. And he could be thinking there, am I going to die? And it's amazing, the one time, if you read in Acts, Peter is in prison and an angel comes up to Peter and knocks him. "Dung, dung, Peter, wake up." He wakes up. He says, "Put your clothes on." He puts his clothes on. He realizes, I'm putting my clothes on, therefore I'm not going to die. Because Jesus says the day will come when somebody else does it and I'll die. So then he's got hope in his heart. He says, I still have an opportunity to serve God. And then he walks out that prison with the doors opening and he goes back to the church who were praying for him. Isn't that amazing? So that word actually encouraged him on numerous occasions, but in the end, he glorified God with his death. Folk, are you ready to do that for God? Are you ready to do that for Jesus? If he says, follow me, would you follow him to a cross? Would you follow him beyond? Maybe your cross is a place where there's no running water and electricity. But will you follow him? Or will you control it? And rather make sure you stay in the 4-star place while you preach for Jesus' name. There has to come a time where we say, God, whatever you want, I surrender. Because what's it about? It's not about me. It's about love for him and about those lambs and about those sheep and about those people that he wants to save. I want to just quickly touch on a few things and then I'm going to end. Look at the hospitality. Eating a warm breakfast. Thank you for hospitality, Crossing Church. We're going to eat lots of breakfasts next year. Because people's lives are changed around breakfast tables. Amen? Let's trust God for that. The relationship, the peace. Jesus isn't threatening Peter. He doesn't say, you slag troop. Jou gesien. Gaan jy nou straf. Sien jy daai boom? Atlap. He doesn't do that. He says to him, it's just an environment of peace and friendliness. So you denied me 3 times, but I'm going to show you that I'll restore you 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? God is committed to restoring you, folk. Relationship. He's asking every one of us to make a contribution. Can I encourage you, folk? How many of you have prayed to God to bless your businesses? Hello? How many of you, when God blesses your business, bring the fish back to him? I want to encourage you, folk. If you get a bonus this year, if you get a 13th check, if you get a gift for Christmas, that you honor Jesus with it. Can I pray for us that you would have an incredible blessing? But then I'm asking, and Jesus might say to you, do something on the other side. But then if he says, can I have some fish? He's got fish. You might say, you don't need any fish, Jesus. It's actually about you participating in the kingdom with him. He's giving you an opportunity to be even further blessed. So when you consider whatever you receive, when you consider it as 90% and release 10% to him, God does incredible things. And so if you will listen to his voice, you will catch fish. But if when he asks you for fish, will you release it to him? God wants to bring such great capacity to you. You're going to think you're going to tear, but it says you will not tear. The nets will not tear. His presence is there. Now he's calling us back to worship. He's calling us back to shepherding his people, and he's calling us back to submission. Are you ready for 2019? Can we finish the rest of the chapter? Good. John 21 verse 20 to 25. And Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said to him, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? This is John, obviously. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Isn't it interesting when Jesus says to you, you're going to glorify me in your death? You're like, oh, so I'm going to go through some tough stuff, but what about that guy? Is he also going to go through some tough stuff? Yeah, it's funny how we always try and compare with everyone else. How come I've got the tough stuff and he doesn't get any tough stuff? They get all the blessing and I don't get... You know what? Stop comparing. Follow him. Because he goes on to say, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, that what is it to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers, and now there's this rumor that comes out that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Wow, God. Guys, I want to end with this. Jesus is coming again. Spread the right word. Don't spread gossip about other disciples. Don't talk about other disciples, you know, a rumor spread about this one and that one. We're not to talk about other people in the church. We're to talk about Jesus Christ. That's when people come to us, they don't get the inside news. They don't get the gossip or the Facebook story of what's going on with somebody in the church. Please drop that. Tell the world what Jesus Christ is about. And folk, it's to this degree that the whole world is actually waiting to write stories about what Jesus has done. Can we be a church that help people all over the world write what he's done? When we start to see people in Rwanda, when we start to see people in Canada, when we start to see people in Australia and Brazil writing about what Jesus has done, then the whole world will be filled with the books of what he has written. In 2019, we're going to travel to those nations. In 2019, we're going to follow him and ask him to lead us every step of the way. We're going to be looking at the book of Luke in 2019, folk. I cannot escape preaching Christ from the Gospels. In this church, if you come to this church, you will hear Christ preached. We're not going to go for a topic. We're not going to go for this, that, and Jesus Christ. Because that's what changes our lives. And so we're going to preach through Luke in term one. The theme is the Savior of humanity. And a kind of a medical theme. That the first aid is Jesus Christ for those that are broken, lost, and hurting. And we want to see this. We want to see broken people restored here. We want to see lost people found. We want to see people that are poor restored. We want to see people that are hurting made well. If Jesus is going to use you for those lambs and those sheep, it's going to be for the people that are worse off than you realize. Jesus came to save them. In the second term, we're going to look at the wonder of the journey. That this church is a kingdom church. And it's the journey of everything upside down. Well, you think to become great, you don't realize it's to become servant of everyone else. And the journey is this, is when you think it's about becoming rich, it's actually about becoming poor. It's about laying down your life. Not asceticism, but saying, God, I need way more of you than all the stuff that I have. And so that upside down kingdom is going to come alive for us. And in the third term, we're going to look at the war that ends the world. And there's going to be a lot of end time stuff. But the end time stuff is actually all about what Jesus Christ did on V-Day, on Victory Day. When he won everything and he destroyed the devil. Where all the troops, they thought they could line up and take him out. And just with one swoop, 3 days later, boom, he took them out. And victory will be ours. And that's what we'll study in next year. Are you excited? Folk, if this, you know, how many of you ever spoke when you were kids about, you know, trying to get to third base and all this kind of stuff with your girlfriend and all these things? I admit. But I'm not going to go there, but... If you think of a baseball diamond, first base, second base, third base, home run, first base for us is save souls. Save souls. Are you in? Are you in? Second base, discipleship that happens in groups. Jesus had 12. That changed the world. Would you consider leading 12 people in your home? Would you consider being one of 12 to follow someone, learn from them, and be discipled by them? Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Third base is to raise and release leaders. And church planting quality leaders, church planting quality deacons, church planting quality elders, church planting quality saints, and to release them, because a home run is going to be planting churches and seeing sites and seeing life groups open up all over the city. And it might not take us a year, it might not take us 2 years, it might take us 7 years, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're going to go for something that Jesus wants. And he wants to see cities changed because of churches planted there. Missionary organizations don't change the world, folk. Churches planted, where disciples are made, where souls are being saved, that changes the world. And that's what we're going to go for with everything we got. Are you ready for 2019? Good.